Hi and welcome to Legends, an action movie podcast. Here we discuss action movies, cult, classic, new, old, original, sequels, reboot, remake and more, for better or worst.
Legends, an action movie podcast is presented to you by Legends Action Figures. Please visit legendsactionfigures.com, your friendly online source for toy and collectibles.
Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
These discussions will be spoiler-filled. Ellen will use an explicit language, so consider yourselves warned. Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
Hi, and welcome to Legends, an action podcast. I'm your host, John D., and as usual, my co-host, Frank.
Hi guys, this is Frank. Welcome to another of our action legendary podcasts.
So this is a Legend Action Podcast number 3. Maybe we won't find Legend Podcast number 1 and 2. That was a first effort, and some of our tech did not really work well. So if you really want to hear them, you can email us at legends.podcast@hotmail.com, and I'll send you a link, but it's really, really up to you. So tonight, episode number 3, we watch Commando. So tonight, another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. As we previously said, we want to do Arnold arc. So here it is, starting with the Commando, a classic of the 80s, starring.
Yeah, this is our Commando in the 1985. Of course, we've got Arnold as Matrix. And his daughter, Jenny, is played by a very young Alyssa Milano at that time. We've got as well another daughter of someone's famous. It's Ray Don Chong, who plays Cindy. She's, of course, the daughter of Chong from Cheech and Chong. And for our bad guys tonight, we've got Varun Wells playing Bennett and Dan Adaya playing Arius. Now, John, did you know that Matrix was supposed to be played by Gene Simmons?
Gene Simmons, are you serious?
Gene Simmons and Nick Nolte, actually.
That guy always wanted to be in front of the camera, even doing a movie like this. I can't.
He refused, obviously.
Oh, he refused. The movie was written for him, and he refused to do the movie.
They offered him the part, and he didn't want any part of it.
Yeah, the guy's a good businessman. That's one of the things we can give him. So maybe that would have not been a good career move. I don't think he's an actor.
I haven't seen those Kiss movies, so I won't pass judgment.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not sure I want to see them either anyway. So so Arnold took the part. Funny thing, the movie is written by Joseph Loeb III, which is Jeff Loeb, who write comics for DC's and Marvel for the last couple of years. Is last couple of years, last 25 years actually. Really great writer. You may know him as the Long Halloween, Hush, Teen Titan for a couple of years. He did the Ultimate Third, thing like that. So anyway, humble start. He then went to write Teen Wolf with that guy from Back to the Future. Who's Mike T. Marfly? His name is...
Oh, Michael J. Fox?
Michael J. Fox. There you go. Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox. Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't, actually.
Lucky you. Okay. So, Commando. So, quick recap of the movie. People get killed at the start. We learn that they're part of a Commando that was led by Arnold Schwarzenegger. They come for him, take his daughter, ask him to kill a president of Valverde. Don't want to do it. Escape of a plane, has 11 hours to rescue his daughter, blow a lot of shit, rescue his daughter, make a girlfriend in between, and go on the sunset.
Yeah, actually, the body count at the end is 81 kills for Arnold.
81?
81. Yeah, that's about 1 for per minute, actually.
That's a good ratio, huh? Does it qualify for mass murdering?
I think mass murdering is beyond 1 or 2.
Yeah, oh boy. Okay. So we're way beyond that. So we're in the 80s. We got the introduction of Arnold to start the movie with this muscle. Not even character, anything. You just have shots.
The first shot is his boot, actually. You get a shot of his boot, and he starts to rise up, and you get to see his arms, and there's another shot of his boots, and then you see the shot of his arm, and he's got this slug on his shoulder.
It's something.
It's something.
You really sense that 80s, I want to say sensibility, but I don't think it's the right word. But just give you an idea, the movie starts with three different kills or hit, if you want. So the first one is a garbage man hit where you have one of the black guys that works with the Valverdean. He's like the main first hit killer. And he kills a guy with a dump truck, just two Uzis in the back of the dump truck. The guy thinks he's late for his garbage. Anyway, it seems really hungry in the Saturday morning to get his garbage out.
That's the wife that's yelling at him. Yeah, there's a garbage truck. Go get them.
Yeah, be careful.
Something like that.
Be careful, your wife can kill you. And after that, you get a kill with a car. The same killer tried to buy a car and just start the car in the showroom and run over the seller.
Yeah, he just runs out of the dealership, actually.
Yeah, so he said his tagline is that the favorite thing about the car is the price and just steal it. So you really get these tag... Arnold Schwarzenegger's tagline, but all through the movie for pretty much every character. They have all just one-liner, no dialogue.
Not much dialogue.
Reason to kill each other and do one-liners.
They are a man of action, so they have little need for words.
Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in like quite a while. I didn't even remember if I had seen it before. So after seeing it, of course, yes, I've seen it, but like in a bad channel on a Saturday afternoon or something like that. I haven't seen really get through it. And it was a lot of fun, but I don't have the kind of baggage that comes with you watch Star Wars when you were young, so it means a different thing at that point for you. What about you?
Commando was actually a late revelation for me. I think I saw it probably in my mid-20s, and I've seen it two or three times since then. So I'm pretty familiar with it. I think it has its unique points that make it interesting. It's cliche in itself, but it's easy to say that 25 years from then, because all that stuff now has been used so many times.
Yeah, a cliche always start where there's a good idea, just repeat until the viewers knows that it's gonna happen. James Bond's a good example of that. First movie, when they came out, they were not cliche. You look at those today, some of the part could look like Austin Power for some people just by the fact that it's been done in the 60s. That movie has definitely been done in the 80s. Definitely not that product of the 90s and the slick production value and everything. It's more camera there, actor comes in, lots of inserts just to introduce plot point that are based on the visual. Doesn't let the viewer think a lot about what's going to happen. I was actually surprised because I was sure that the daughter would get killed and he would just go on a revenge mission, and they kidnapped her instead.
There's a few neat things that are done in the movie. The way the daughter gets out is that's one, and the way Arnold gets out of the plane is something. I mean, it's hard to believe right now, but back then, I mean, you guess the guy could do something like that.
So another interesting thing: the final part of the movie actually goes through in a country called Valverde. We talked about that a little bit in the previous podcast, but this is like a fictitious country where they can do pretty much everything they want. The big backstory is that they want Arnold to go kill the president of that country that is an old friend of him, so they could place a dictator instead.
Yeah, actually Arnold helped the president get the power, and the bad guy that was disposed is now blackmailing Arnold into killing the president to get back into power. So that's the major set piece of the movie, with Matrix's daughter thrown in there.
Yeah, I like the name John Matrix. you listen to that today, it just doesn't have the same.
Well, it's John only at the start of the movie. The rest of the movies is just Matrix.
Matrix. Yeah.
Which is quite stupid for a name, I mean.
Exactly. I would have thought it would be a name. It's just more something that you can remember easily as a viewer and don't really have to think.
It sounds cool because there's an X.
There's an X, the X factor. There's actually a Stargate episode where they make a show of themselves, and it's called Wormhole Extreme because they need at least an X. If not, they're not going to get your green light.
Yeah.
The X factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of X movies. Extreme. So in those couple of good one-liner we said before, I think one of the classic. You get the start of the movie, so the skill happens. They get to Arnold's daughter. Arnold starts to get shit around like there's no tomorrow. He's got actually an Arnold cave or a Matrix cave.
He's got like this hidden gun compartment, this gun room actually in his shed that he has to enter his PIN number to get in there. And it's pretty, his product's stocked up. I mean, the guy's ready for Armageddon.
Oh, yeah. And just goes after his daughter. Just before that, a guy just interrogates him. And he's like, okay, we have your daughter. You need to cooperate. And the answer is, I don't think so. And just shut him between the eyes. That was just great.
Yeah, Arnold's not one for cooperation. And they actually get away in their car, and Arnold sees that his truck was tampered with and the brake is done and the battery is dead. So he just shoves it down the hill at that point.
Oh, yeah. He lives in a shack, and I'm a little quote with my finger when I say shack because it's just that big, luxurious cabin on the top of a mountain. And you see the road is like a serpent going down the hill, and it just drove right in between, True Lie style.
He just took the beeline down the mountain.
Yeah.
Trying to ram the bad guys.
He gets to ram them, but he
no, he doesn't.
Oh, no.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, no, the truck just...
Yeah, he just misses them, and the truck rolls over and explodes, and Arnold just runs away, and they try to capture him at that time. There's a cool little fight sequence where you see Arnold can take out five guys with guns, but when the six and seven guys get there, he's pretty screwed.
I like they really get stated character with the idea that he just really doesn't want to cooperate at all. So he always tried to find a new and creative way to get his own way, actually.
Well, his ultimate motivation is his daughter, actually. Well, that's how it's portrayed in the movie, but he's pretty focused.
Yeah, because in most of the movie, your primary motivation is your daughter. You're going to do what the bad guys ask you and just follow through it because, oh, it's so important, and find people to help you because it's so important to go kill her and they're going to kill her. And you see that point of view. There you get the rebellious guy is just like, frack you. It's just not going to happen.
And in there's one of the great elements of the movie, this deception element where he's in the plane and with the guy that's supposed to bring him to Valverde to kill the guy that's looking up on him and making sure that when they'll get there, he calls to ensure that his daughter does not get killed. And actually, Arnold kills the guy in the plane and manages to escape the plane from there. And the movie is basically based on the 11 hours the plane takes to get to Valverde, and Arnold has that time to stealthily reacquaint with his daughter.
Yeah, I like the when we were watching the movie, I make the commentary that it was like 24. You see that that little watch, digital watch from the 80s, and you hear the number for like 3-4 seconds at the time, just going down, and supposed to get you in the thriller of the movie. But the movie is just full of music from start to end. There's no room to breathe at all. So you just get into the beat and into the killing and what happens, and you just don't see time goes by.
It's not quite long. I think it's an hour and a half or something like that.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fast paced.
It went super fast when I was watching the movie. And seriously, this is something that Is there a comment theory on that Blu-ray? Because I'm really interested in watching it.
Of course you are.
Yeah. If Arnold's on the commentary, it's going to be even funnier because...
Nope. This is one of the cheap ones, I guess. There are Enhance for D-Box motion control systems, which I have no idea what it is. And the theatrical trailer in IDF. So, yeah.
So it's a Blu-ray edition that, if I remember correctly,
it's beyond high definition. It's
beyond. And if I'm not mistaken, I've seen it at like $7.99 at Future Shop or something.
No, it's one of the cheapest ones.
Yeah, but you know what?
I only care for the movie. I mean, I don't listen to those director tracks or stuff like that. So I'm fine with those.
Oh, for $7.99, I don't care if there's another commentary track. It's good for the movie. if I paid $30, I hope to have a commentary track on there, but that's pretty much it.
Try not well, to pay that brings bucks. The questions of which movie would you pay $30 for?
This movie I bought for $30 is Watchmen like a year ago.
Ugh.
Yeah. We don't have the same view of them.
No, I didn't like that one.
But I didn't buy the $60 version they got out in December.
Well, they know they have the fan base there, so you know they can milk the cow.
Yeah, but that one they really make it hard. Start with three different editions. One disc edition, two disc edition, and like exclusive to that store or that store, box weird edition with digital copy and blah, blah, blah. Dipped again a couple of months later with an edition with the Black Freighter disc on it, and dipped again in December with the Ultimate Edition for whatever, 6 hours of movie. I'm not interested. I've seen all the footage.
That movie is too long anyways.
Yeah, and I've seen all the footage, and the Black Freighter movie is not that bad.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
But it's fun short to watch. But I don't want to see it in the movie. I don't want them to put that in there. It's fun that it's there if you're interested, and you just don't have to watch it if you're not. But don't go put that back in the movie.
I didn't like the movie. I didn't really like the comic at all. But I prefer the comic by a whole lot, actually.
Yeah, that's a fact. The comic was so good.
So Commando.
So where were we? Oh yeah, Arnold gets out of the plane. I really like that. Just goes by. Oh, I'm sick. Doesn't look sick at all. Goes down in a bay. Sees a wheel, get on the wheels.
There's actually this weird part where he just stares at this paper wall or something. I just wonder why there would be this paper wall in this plain cargo bay. That didn't make sense to me at all. He just stares at it.
Yeah.
What's that? I don't know.
That was.
He falls about, I don't know, I guess at least 100 feet into a marsh. And he just falls on his butt, and he doesn't go deep at all, and he's like just walks away. This is a bit weird. There's a
He definitely only jumped like 15 feet in the air, but should have been like way, way up because you see water, and he's just getting in the plant on the swamp. Doesn't go in water.
There's almost like 2 feet of water in that swamp at best.
Yeah, and managed to go back inside the terminal like in one cut.
Well, I guess he's pretty fast.
Yeah, he is. Not tired at all. Everything's going fine.
He doesn't smell from the swamp or anything like that. I mean,
yeah. Anyway, goes from there, get back to... Okay, we missed that plot point. There was two guys. One to call when he was in the plane, so that guy saw him leave. And another guy that was in the plane that was supposed to call when he get there. Guy's already dead.
That's Sully, the guys that's not on the plane.
Yeah, the guy that's not on the plane. So Arnold goes back to tail him. And he just Sully is just, I would say cruise, but not really. It's more harassing that woman.
He's trying, yeah, well, I guess this is how they did it back then. But he's putting his moves on the girl. Chong's daughter, Raydon Chong, her name is Cindy in the movie, and I guess Arnold just sees that, and he sees the opportunity to use the girl as bait or something later on when he trails the bad guy.
Yeah, so is that, of course, the girl I didn't even write her name. Do you remember?
It's Cindy.
Cindy. So let's call her Cindy.
It's her name.
Yeah. So she tells Sully to go his own business. Then that he looked creepy. She goes back to her car. He's still there, trying once again to get to there. She tells him that he looks like a nightmare. He goes away like a little bit frustrated. And then
actually, this is pretty funny. She's like, "Go away! You're not nice." And he's just like, he looks back and he goes, "You fucking whore!" And he just goes away. That, I don't know. The delivery on that is just a bit weird. But at that point, basically, Arno was stalking Cindy. And as he sees the bad guy go away, he somewhat kidnaps her.
Yeah, and anyway, I don't think you could do that kind of thing today where it's really... he kidnaps her, but she has that big Lawrence Nightingale syndrome where she finally start to trust him. Anyway, so at that point, you just like kidnap her, get her under the car, get in the car, open the doors... rip the seat of the car off the passenger seat and sit really, really low in the car.
He's stealthy
in the car. It was so funny because it was so odd there that he just ripped the seat. It's
quite random. I mean, he could have just reclined or something, I guess, and it would have worked.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything's a stream with Arnold. So Matrix.
Matrix.
Say. Yeah.
John Matrix.
He's extreme.
As not that's to confound with John Rambo.
Well, there's actually another point trivia here, whereas I think it's Colonel Kirby, who is the ex-officer for Arnold. He is supposed to be played exactly as the Colonel from Rambo, and there's actually a few lines that are shared between the movies.
So, yeah.
They were inspired by Rambo, basically.
Dry spell on Rambo to John. Okay. So, anyway, he asked that woman to follow Sully. Sully is in that big yellow Porsche, and she has this...
small red convertible.
Yeah, it looks like a Thunderbird.
Nah.
Nah, not really. Okay. Anyway... smaller red convertible.
I think it's a Mercedes, but we really don't want one. I wouldn't be sure about that.
Anyway, missing a seat.
Yeah.
And Arnold definitely looked like he sit in a seat when they're rolling
out. He sometimes looks like he's on a seat, but maybe it's just bigger than Cindy. They actually get to a mall at that point.
Yeah. So they get to the mall. He's getting in with her, and he's like, "Okay, you're gonna go back to Sully, tell him that you want to hey, have fun with him, bring him back here because I need them not to see me, because if they know what I'm doing, they're gonna kill my daughter."
Yeah, he told her all about the daughter and things. So that's why she agrees to help him.
So she agrees to help him get into the restaurant, tell the cops.
Yeah, the first thing she does is. She rats out on Arnold at the mall cop.
And you have that other cop that's just with those little girls like, "You want to see me like kick some ass?"
Good luck.
Yeah, and his radio just says, "Yeah, the guys look shaped." That was funny. I'm sorry, but that was really funny. And you're in that mall with those balloon, like, all the color.
Long vinyl tubes. Are very 80s in their color and disposition, and it's appropriate to the time. Basically, the guards are trying to set up on Arnold, and he just decides to kick their butt at that point because he sees that Sully has seen him.
So Sully tried to go to a phone booth. There's like stormtrooper waves of police going to on Arnold, and at some
mall
point
cops.
They just.
Mall cops.
They're all over him, and he just hulk it out from the middle.
They actually do pile up on him, and he just bursts out of them like he could throw 20 guys away.
Oh yeah, battle them for a couple of minutes. Swing with the balloons in the middle of the mall to the elevator. Sully gets into a phone booth and. It just ripped the phone booth out.
You're mixing it up, but yeah, all that stuff happens in a different order.
But I haven't seen the movie in a while, so but we've seen it like an hour ago. But beside that.
So much action.
Here you go. There's so much action. It's all blurred up. And then with that big action sequence, he gets out because Sully is still trying to get up, never was able to do his phone call. Let's remember, film is in 1985, no cell phone. And
he could have attacked Matrix with his cell phone if he had one.
Oh,
this is brick-like.
Oh, yeah. So Matrix gets into his car to follow his car, the car of the girl, to follow
Cindy's car,
the Mercedes car, to follow the yellow Porsche. And when he gets in front of the mall, the girl is there. He stops, pick her up, and go back.
Yeah, and we're at night now.
Oh, yeah. And we're at night. Oh, that's true. I don't
know.
So that movie has so many bad things like that, like bad editing choice, bad editing shots, or just like this.
We'll get back to full day and within 11 hours, but yeah, we'll move on. Actually, we start a little chasing at that point.
Yeah, so you have the infamous chase scene where I was looking at the movie, I'm like, this is like clear that it's three different cars, that it has been shot three different times, and they're just editing together when you pass the commentary.
There's a few shots of Matrix running, ramming his car in Sully's car, and basically it just cuts a few times, and you see that the red car gets, at few shots, she's damaged, but the few shots as well, she's not damaged, and it's all interspliced, and it's it's a botch. Oh, yeah. Job.
Oh, yeah. You just watch the bumper, and the bumper, one of the car, the bumper is completely out, like sticking up. The other one, it's still pristine. And one of the other cars seems to like crash a bit, but not as much as the two others. So it's more newer, I would say. Just before
pristine.
Pristine. There you go. Yeah, pristine condition. Just before you crash into a tree. And it's the pristine car that crashed into a tree, not the bumped car.
Yeah, well, Matrix actually does succeed in his ramming of Sully. The yellow Porsche just rolls onto its side, at which point Arnold rams into a tree and totals the red convertible, but he runs out of there and go gets Sully.
At that point, the Porsche is on the side door. He gets Sully and break one of his promise.
Yeah, at the start of the movie, when they are at the airport, Sully is making jokes, and Arnold basically tells him, "You know, Sully, you're a funny guy. I like you. That's why I'm gonna kill you last." And, well, where we're at right now in the movie, Sully would be the second bad guy to get killed. And that's basically what Arnold does. He picks him up by the crouch and his neck. He carries him over shoulder to the cliff. He hangs onto him by his ankle and he dangles him across this cliff. And there's this great delivery of, "You know, Sully, when I said I killed you last, I laid," and he just drops him. That's awesome.
As he would put him later, he let him go.
Yeah. He gets back in the car, and Cindy is asking about Sully, and he just goes, "I let him go."
Oh, yeah. This, we didn't talk about it before, but at some point he spots Sully in the airport just way back in the movie. And he has, from the start, that just ugly, ruggy suit that you can spot like from a mile away.
It really does look like a rock. That's what I thought when I saw it. Yeah. What else is there to say?
Yeah, the man really wanted his rug.
He's a bad guy and he dresses ugly, so yeah. Splash on the rocks.
Oh, no. So they get a key to get the next plot point, because that movie really works like this. You get an action sequence, you get the next plot indicator. You get an action sequence, you get the next plot indicator.
It's actually Arnold going from bad guy to bad guy, killing each and, you know, getting the information to get to the next bad guy. So in killing Sully, he got a key to a motel room, and that's where we're going next.
And that's where we're going next. So he's still with the with Cindy. And at that point, she seems to want to stick around. When they were in the, when he picked her up back, she had that like 1 minute scene where she just rent around everything that happened, and that was a really bad day, and happens to drop out that she's training to
she's to be a pilot. She's trying to fly planes.
There you go, and that's gonna help a lot in the course of the movie later. I'm just trying to remember where we're at that point. So we go to the hotel.
They're going to the motel.
They're going to the motel. Yeah. And they get the key, and they get there, and they're alone.
Yep. Well, actually, I guess that Sully was supposed to get there first, and the guy from Predator, I don't remember his name. It's Bennett. Bennett in the movie. He's supposed to meet him there. So Arnold lays somewhat of a trap when Bennett locks out the door.
Yeah, some kind of a trap. He starts the showers, takes Cindy, opens his blouse.
He just rips her shirt open. He's like, yo, go act sexy.
go act sexy. Say you're the maid. The guy gets in. Where's Sully? He's in the shower. Oh, yeah. Let me in. Gets in, and Arnold just behind the door. And just
they start to wrestle and fight.
They wrestle and fight, destroy pretty much the room and the next room beside where there's a couple having...
Intercourse.
We see some boobage flashing. That's the only boobage in that movie.
As far as I know.
As far as I've seen, too.
Well, there's Arnold.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, you get that great shot at the end of the movie.
Bennett's actually a Green Beret at that point, so he's supposed to be pretty badass. And we do get actually a pretty hardcore fight with Arnold. They shoot at each other, and they beat up each other, and they wreck the role place. And
you even have Cindy saying that, can't believe this macho bullshit.
Yeah, they eat too much red meat.
Oh, yeah.
And it ends quite. It ends on the. It actually ends at Arnold throwing Bennett on this table leg, and he just he's like, "Where's my daughter?" But Bennett dies, and
oh yeah, he got the table legs right through where your heart would be, but still take a good moment to give a good eye to Arnold before he dies.
Yeah,
good heart that's to beat.
But they find this they find Bennett's car at that point, and there's this slip from
fuel company
that fuels amphibious plane, and since Cindy is so knowledgeable about plane, she knows all that, and she's able to guide Arnold there, and they find this army of bad guys at that point.
Yeah, but they go there, they fight a couple. Did they fight an army?
Just knocks out a guard or two to get in. They don't mess with those guy latch. They just get some information, I think, on the...
Yeah, they get...
Go.
Sorry.
Did they get some information, actually, where Arius and... forgetting his name.
Or it's two bad guys.
Yeah, Arius and Bennett. I don't know. The two bad guys. The guy with the weird shirt and the Volver the guy. They basically go to the fuel plant and they get this information on which island it is. It's they try to, at that point, get a plan to go storm that island. And, you know, Cindy will be able to fly the plane at that point. And Arnold basically says that they'll be ready to go once they go shopping.
Yeah, but let's go back just a little. I like the way they find the information. They get into the office. There's a map with like the coordinates and a big X, and there's a picture of the plane just beside it.
It's Cindy that brings it. She's like, oh, check it out. There's the plane.
There's a picture of the plane. There's an island. Oh, we can assume that they're going with my daughter in that plane to that island from, receipt from fueled. Oh, they fueled at Santa Monica. So from Santa Monica, from there, how long's the flight? 2 hours. We have 2 hours, 53 minutes on the watch. So, as you said, we go get the plane.
Good. Well, they get guns first, actually.
Oh, yeah. They have to go shopping.
They get to a army surplus store, and basically Arnold just bulldozes the front window of that place. And it's so overdue. I mean, you'd think that such a guy could break a door or, pick a lock or something. But no, he just goes over the top.
Oh, yeah. And he takes the bulldozer and does not just crash the window.
He parks it in the store.
Oh,
he
yeah.
just parks it in there.
and just get the cart and start dropping stuff in it.
He grabs anything. He's got like a full cart. He gets fins for swimming, guns and blades and grenades and everything. And he just goes at the counter and he starts to run his hand around it, and he's basically looking for a switch or something. And obviously, there's one that reveals this this great big room filled with goodies.
Goodies, yeah. he finds the only army surplus that carries grenade launchers and
rocket launchers. There's like belt-fed machine guns and grenades, and everything's in there.
Oh yeah,
just shotguns and
make your pick. That's it.
He did. He took one of everything.
He took one of everything. He gave that to the girl. You don't really know to Cindy. You don't really know what she's doing with it for an instant. He goes back in the store and get arrested by like 8 police car.
Well, at that point, I'd like to point out that Cindy is still stuffing the guns in the car, and that no one messes with her while they're resisting Arnold. So they get away in this cup wagon, and she just starts to tell them in their car.
Oh, yeah. They start at that window. She tells them. They stop at that red light. She starts doing his sexy shit. They start again. They look at her in the back mirror. Okay, they look at her.
Yeah, she stands up in the car.
And just swap up that.
She picks up the rocket launcher and she aims it at the cup wagon. And she just fires, but
it's backward.
Yeah, she got it backward. She just reverses it at that point and fires again, and she does manage to hit the cap wagon. And Arnold escapes at that point. He asks her, how did she do that? And she says that she read the instruction, but she obviously didn't, because she fired backward first.
So it's kind of a joke. Wow.
Yeah.
They're doing explosion jokes. Not too bad.
Rocket launch jokes. Rocket. Those are the best one. I mean, if you could bake bacon with their, rocket launcher, explosion, bacon.
Yeah, everything's there. You know they make donut bacon in the U.S. now.
I didn't know, but yeah, I can believe that.
I get confirmation from someone from San Diego. They got bacon donut. I'll check that when I get there. So that was just an action beat in the movie, like for nothing. They get the gun, there's an action beat, and they just go by what they were doing.
I mean, the way Arnold breaks in the story, it's ridiculous to think that no cop would be around, but it's about 10 minutes of the movie. That's not really necessary, but he did have to get his gun before he went on the plane, and that's where they're going as they get on the plane, and they basically start to assault this bad guy island.
Yeah, no, I said it was useless, but that's not true. That, like,
he picks up his gear.
Yeah, he picks up his gear and it eats the times that he has to get there, because they need to get to that 2-hour mark.
It's a bit of a no. It doesn't run for 2 hours.
No, it doesn't run for 2 hours. My point is that when
it's
2 hours,
yeah,
2 hours,
yeah, within the, yeah.
And when he get into the plane, they still have 2 hours to get there, and the plane trip is 2 hours. They play it pretty close later, so probably they needed to lose some time somewhere.
I don't know, but
lose time between cuts.
they land at sea, and Arnold has this little dinghy boat, and he just put on his speedo and starts rowing to the sea.
Oh yeah!
And once he get to the sea, what do we get? We get this badass equipment montage.
Oh yeah, just once again, presentation of the guns, presentation of the gear, presentation of the muscle, almost one by one.
Yeah,
but it doesn't feel like it should not be there, and this is what's
great. Well, no, it's okay, but it's a bit too much in this movie. I mean, once you look at the guy and when you factor in all the gun that he fires, it's a lot of hardware, but I guess it looks pretty cool.
Oh yeah, and cutting between all that, we always add the general that you said is from should be from Rambo, that comes back and just says that it's gonna be bad, it's gonna be bad, it's gonna be bad, it's gonna be like World War III.
Yeah, he basically he knows that Matrix is a killer, and But he somehow backs it all as well. I mean, he makes it okay with the cops after Matrix gets his escape and stuff like that. So he's still back in Matrix all through this movie.
Oh, John Matrix cost a lot of dollars for the U.S. taxpayer that day. And the army paid for it. What do you want? So anyway, my point is that John Matrix get to the island and just everything explode.
Yeah, he's got those mines, which are actually probably... those are 80s explosion. Basically, every building is shatters in balls of fire.
Oh, but yeah, and rigged out from the inside.
You basically just see Arnold set two or three mines, and everything just blows to fiery hell.
Oh, yeah, and in the follow-up of the good special effect, you actually see some... stand-up mannequin that are there just beside the explosion that don't move, and you don't see them in the other shot after. It was just great. Everything is
blown. Those shots cost money, and you can't repeat them. I think this movie actually had just a budget of 10 million, so that gives you an idea.
Yeah, you don't go really far with 10 million today. Today you have to pay Arnold 50 million. No, today you don't.
No,
get
you know.
No. You get the guy from Stargate to play Conan. Yeah. So, everything explodes for a moment. And
there's a piece here when Arnold gets there where the bad guys actually try to go for his daughter. But we see a little bit of her ingenuity where she takes out this door handle and makes her way out of her prison chamber at that point.
Yeah, and so one of her bad guy... goes after her, which is the name, the guy with the mustache? A mustache guy. Yeah. Always scary.
I think it's Arius.
So Arius go and follow the daughter. Our other bad guy stays and keep the defense of his manners, I'm assuming, but I have no idea what he was doing there. And he's there with his gun going around, and Arnold just comes in and shotguns him.
All his soldiers actually are getting killed, so he picks up a gun and he tries to defend himself.
But Arius told him before.
Yeah.
That if Arnold Matrix was there or him decided to kill all of them, nothing could stop them.
So even though Arius gets his machine gun and Arnold has the shotgun, Arnold, I think, does this rolling trick, and he just blasts... the bad guy two times in the chest with his shotgun, and just moves on to try to find his daughter.
And from a floor up, shotgun.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a hell of a shotgun. And the guy just has this domino on his chest. All the pop-up blood was really in perfect parallel everywhere. Anyway.
Arnold could do that shot.
Arnold could shot you really, really equal.
He wills the bullets where he wants them.
He's not Chuck Norris yet.
Well, Chuck is good with his kicks. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, but, you know, everybody's afraid of Chuck Norris. Maybe not. So he kills that guy, goes and have an incredible track check to find his daughter. And they're into these catacombs, or I don't... More... No, not catacombs. I would say
it's
service
tunnel. It's a weird basement, I guess, for, like, the compound for the bad guy. There's like steam pipes and everything there.
And Arius gets the daughter, and Arnold get there. Arius just shoot Arnold in the arm, and it looks like a flesh wound, but Arnold insists on the rest of his performance to say that his arm is really bad. But he gets behind. Yeah.
No, I was just about to say that, yeah, he gets behind the wall and they have this discussion where Arnold is like, you know, you can take me, just fight me. You know, I've got this wound in my arm, so you'll be able to beat me. And the bad guy just goes berserk at that point. They both bring out their knives and they have this awesome night fight
where Arnold's really tried to... fight with exactly one arm.
It's like the battle of the mustache against the pecs.
There you go. And they just go all over the place. I didn't think they could fall, but they still fall somewhere beside a boiler room, and there's this fire plate. They everything that's in metal in there seems really easy to just wreck out.
They rip out doors, they rip out pipes, everything breaks in their ways.
The doors of a furnace just doesn't seem to be attached to it at all.
Come on, the hinges are hot, it's easy to tear off.
Oh yeah, when it's hot, you know, your hands just liked it so much. So so anyway, they fight for a couple of minutes and Matrix just...
He gets stuck in electric wires actually, and he comes back and he's just waiting on Arnold, and at what point Arnold just overpowers him and throws him against the wall. At that point, the bad guy tries to reach for a gun. Arnold just tears a pipe from the wall and throws it spear style at the bad guy, and he is completely speared. So much so that steam comes out of the pipe. So that's how strong Arnold can throw that pipe. It's pretty impressive, I must say.
I didn't write that one-liner, but it's like steam off or... I don't know. Get steam. and there's... Let some steam off. And in there somewhere, there is... I'll be back for you. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, he gets the "I'll be back" in the movie. I don't remember where it is.
How many "I'll be back" there is there? And
go to YouTube and you'll be able to find some memorable quotes from Arnold. He's good. There are interesting in there if you want to get back in the spirit of Arnold. I highly suggest it.
Yeah. So and he gets his daughter back. They go back on the beach. The general is there. There's an exchange of this. We would like you to have your old commando back. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. And he looks like his daughter. And they're like, until next time. Arnold takes like 4 steps, turn his head.
No way.
And goes back in the plane and into the sunsets.
There's this cheesy rock 80s tune about like fighting for living, which God fighting for living. It's really cheesy and the plane is just looping around the screen. But and I guess you throw down your popcorn at that point and walk out of the movie.
Yeah, no Marvel ending at the end of the generic or the credit on this. But there was a little bit that I found interesting in the credit, because you see, you know, random people in the movie. At some point, I was like, "Was that Bill Paxton?" And yes, it was.
He plays a cop, I think.
Yeah, a random cop that has like one line and gets off. And this is that movie came out in 1985. Isn't that Alien 2 came out in 1985? Well, or around,
I guess.
So that was a big step up.
Well, it's just a cameo, so I guess.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But still funny. That guy is in everything from the 80s. He has that 80s vibe to him. And that's the end of the movie. So, on our scale from 1 to 5, which I remember our scale from 1 to 5 is you should have seen that movie the first day it came out. You should have heard that it's at the dollar movie. You should buy it on DVD the day it came out, buy it cheap on DVD, or don't even bother. So where do you would rank Commando?
Well, as we said before, I mean, this movie is already cheap on Blu-ray. So, I mean, even if you got it on DVD, I think it's worth it to buy. You can definitely get this under $10. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a buy. And if it would have been in theater, not sure I would have been there the first day. But I would probably have gone to see it at the Dollar Theater at least.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know what you're getting into. I mean, this is your big action piece from the 80s. And it's not about plot. It's about those cool action beats. And there's a few in there. And there's some few interesting points. So
it's about testosterone and man bonding.
It's about tearing seats out of cars and dropping guys off cliffs and breaking necks in planes. And
I recommend fried chicken and beer while watching that movie. So yeah, this was Commando. That was fun for as much as I know. You said that there was supposed to be a sequel.
Yeah, they wanted to make a sequel for this, and Arnold didn't want to do it because he had a failure with the Conan sequel, so they shot the movie around. They tried different actors. I don't have the list right now, but I think there was like Burt Reynolds and people like that in there. And the fifth one they ask was Mr. Willis, Bruce Willis. They changed the name to Diehard, and that's where they went with it.
Oh, yeah. And I can really see where Diehard come from, that movie, because there's still
some... Yeah, think about Diehard with John Matrix.
Yeah, think about Diehard with John Matrix. You still have that character that bring chaos and...
It would have been a different beat because Bruce Willis is so much more human, whereas Arnold is this superhuman. You know, it's easier to associate with Bruce Willis in that way. There's more sympathy for him, you know, where he cuts his feet and all that stuff. So I think it would have been different, but it can easily be reworked and to fit Arnold in there.
Yeah, but Arnold... add this this way to be reworking in this movie where he needed to be like really a hero and needed to be the center of the movie and not get too much beaten up except by certain director which he really trusted.
He gets to be battle damage.
Jim Cameron! But yeah, he gets to be battle damage a bit. But at the end of this career, we talked a little bit before the podcast about collateral damage, which left a really vague impression on me. And in that movie, they tried to go the Jason Bourne, Arnold Schwarzenegger way, and just does not work, in my opinion. But
I don't remember the movie, so we'll have to check it out maybe sometime later.
Oh, yeah, we'll check out sometime later. And I know it's probably the somebody favorite Arnold movie for someone out there, but for me, this really did not cut it out. Well, anyway... They can't all be that good.
So. I know. I mean, Arnold's not perfect. He did some less than choice work as well. And maybe we'll venture on them sometime.
Yeah, they're still talking about another Terminator with him, so...
Don't do it.
Don't
come back.
Don't come back. Stay dead.
I mean, his legacy is pretty good in Terminator. I don't think he needs to do another one. And it doesn't fit into the mythos of the movie. I mean, you know, they did the Sarah Connor Chronicle thing, and you know, all the Terminators have different faces in them. So why would they keep coming back to that one? It doesn't make sense with me.
Yeah, but Terminator really work on. You have the James Cameron history, and you have the studio / moneymaker history.
Yeah.
So James Cameron wrote two movies, and if you watch those movies correctly, at the end of the second movie, this is pretty much the end. There's no coming back.
Yeah, they shouldn't have made a third one.
Yeah, they should not. The story finished at that point. But, of course, you can loop all it in some ways that, yeah, the future is always going to happen. But in the story that was first started about time travel and everything, the loop was closed.
Yeah. They actually, to me, they took away from it by adding, so, you know,
but they cheapened the franchise.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
They cheapened the franchise. A work like they did with the Batman franchise. What they did the first two Tim Burton movies. The second Tim Burton movie did not get to expectation from some people. They went somewhere else, cheapened the franchise, and took them years to be able to make that franchise bankable again. And not by just producing a movie, they had to take big risks. Batman Begins was a big risk movie at this particular point. You know you're gonna make money. It's not
well. It was a big risk, but we were starting to get into that superhero hype at that point.
Yeah, but they blew it with Superman.
Yeah, well,
that was a big risk that didn't pay off.
No, but it was wrong. I mean, the Superman was all wrong, if you ask me. It was.
You don't do a sequel of a movie that's 30 years old.
Well, yeah, and it just didn't work at all. I mean, I saw this that movie and I was like, I didn't feel like it was Superman. I felt like it was an imposter. I mean, it didn't feel like it should have.
Yeah.
And it was not interesting. It didn't make sense.
No, you're absolutely right. There was some major plot hole in that movie. And the fact that Superman only trying to save himself. In the old movie, he does that. All the thing that Lex Luthor is doing and everything, when he takes that big chunk of whatever that comes out of the water that's only dangerous to him. And this is the big reveal of the movie? the fact that, oh, Superman's going to be okay. He's not going to have to go back to fight on that rock. Oh, okay.
It's just lame.
Yeah. So my point is, they took a chance, and I respect the fact that they took a chance, but they blew it, and they blew X-Men 3 by Ricochet, which that's another story.
Yeah.
So
good sense on Arnold, actually, to pass on Commando 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he do a lot of sequel except Terminator? I don't think
it's did. I think it's the only one. Well, there's Conan, actually. And I think that's it.
That's it. Did some remake, but no sequel. So.
Yep.
Arnold's still a good businessman. Overall, you can say.
Always.
Oh, yeah. He's back. He's backing every movie he ever did, as dud as they can be and as weird as they could. But he's a guy that respects the medium and respects the people that made him who he is. So. Good for Arnold.
Yep.
Should we wrap this up, or do you have anything else to...
Commando. I think that's about it. I think we got everything we need to get in there about the Commando
to cover.
If it sounds good to you, I mean, check it out. It's worth your hour and a half. You can always come back to it, and it's a great piece of a middle 80s movie.
So we get a good buy a DVD there from the guys from Legends.
Oh, buy the Blu-ray if you can.
Buy a Blu-ray if you can.
Support the format. Give Sony all your money.
Yeah, if you're in the US, I'm like pretty sure that must be an instant watch on Netflix. I'm pretty sure, or something like this. This is so much well known as a movie, as almost a classic.
It passes on TV a lot of time as well, so you can watch it on there as well.
So watch your TV guide. So, any last word?
Rock on.
Rock on. So, this has been episode 3 of Legends, an action movie podcast. If you want to leave us feedback, you can leave us feedback at legend.podcast@hotmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Legends Podcast, or on legendsactionfigure.com, which are our sponsors right now, and let us put everything on their website. We're really grateful. They're great. Look at their website. They have like great deals on toys, collectibles. You can pre-order pretty much everything. They have, oh my God, they have tons of Star Wars action figure.
If you like the podcast, go on their website. That's a way to make us happy.
Yeah, that's a way to say thanks to us.
Yep.
And if you don't like it, just drop us an email and go to the website anyway. And thank
it's
you.
Just a couple of kids, guys.
Here you go. So that has been episode 3 of the Legends Action Movie Podcast. It was Commando. Thank you very much. See you next week.
This has been Legends in Action Movie Podcast. We are your host, Frank and John D. We remind you to visit legendsactionfigures.com. Please leave us a positive review on iTunes. See you next week for a new episode.
Legends in Action Movie Podcast is not affiliated with any other entity. The opinions stated in this podcast are strictly personal and do not represent the view of its sponsor or any other person or entity. No infringement is intended. Legends Podcast is a production of No Expert Productions.